Well, greetings, First Baptist Church of Narragansett. It's a pleasure to be talking to you from Germany, from our three-quarters of the way packed up apartment here. Caleb asked me a few days ago to see if I could fill in for this last week of full remote church, and more than happy to do so. So this is what you'll get this morning. I'd just like to do couple of things today. One is, you know, sort of give a report of where we are, what we've been doing, what we will be doing, and then talk to you about some of the things that I've been thinking about in terms of moving on and transitioning from here, and some of the things I'm actually going to be speaking to my seniors, because I've been invited this year to be the commencement speaker at Black Forest Academy. So much of this is I'm adapting from some thoughts I've been having about that. So, where we've been and what we've been doing. I'm Russ Cranes, and my wife Diane is my partner in ministry here. We've been in Germany a total of 13 years, 11 since 2008, with 1 year back home for home assignment. We both work for Teach Beyond. And I have been seconded to Black Forest Academy, a school for missionary kids here in Condren, Germany, and I've been teaching the Senior Worldviews class for the last 11 years of my time here. In the meantime, Diane has been working her way through Teach Beyond, from helping with English camps in Germany all the way up to being the global leader for informal education for all of Teach Beyond Global. We are currently in the middle of transitioning back to the States after 2 years of prayer and seeking the Lord's leading, and knowing that I would have to come back to the States anyway for what we call a totalization year. We have been led to relocate to the States. Diane's ministry will continue as is. She will be working as the director of informal education for all of Teach Beyond. And I will be moving over to taking actually two jobs. One will be a job working with Teach Beyond's school services department, and I'll be the European liaison for them and also for teacher education in Europe. And the other job I'll be taking is with informal education, being a regional director for informal education and things that are developing there, especially in Central Asia. As I said, the source of this talk is thoughts about the commencement address. So I thought I would start by quoting you the first two paragraphs of my first draft for the seniors. I've had the pleasure of working with 11 senior classes now. In all my time at BFA, I've had 915 students total. And it's been a wonderful experience, and I treasure it. And if any of you are excited about teaching truth to a captive audience 4 to 5 days a week for school year for 11 years, that's a pretty good gig. And I've really, really enjoyed it, and I pray God has used us both in ministry here. But let me just start from the first two paragraphs that I wrote, and then I'll go back and say what I want to say to First Baptist in particular. Quoting, I am invested in this moment with 12 minutes of authority to speak to you of great things and to bless and encourage you as you move from this reality, high school, BFA, to future plans, the last vestiges of childhood, hopefully, childhood to blossoming adulthood from here to wherever. Well, like every Worldviews class you've ever attended, that means there's too much stuff to cover and too little time. So here are the ideas we would develop together given more time. Hopefully you can do so on your own time. And your own time is more of an uncertainty than any other BFA graduating class I've seen enjoy this celebration. You see, you take a BFA transition experience, which is huge, and add a global pandemic. You lose certain traditions, certain certainties, certain joys, but you gain boatloads of perspective through what might be really value-added challenges in your life. You've already had to strengthen your resilience, and that is so valuable for your future potential as a person, as an influencer, as a parent, as a producer of things of value, and as a disciple of Christ. So that's how I'm going to start it with the kids, something like that. And I mentioned something about 12 minutes, but of course that's not a promise for our time this morning, because I get to expand a little bit. What about you folks back at First Baptist? What about us? What about our home church? Things have been strange for us. You've gone on Facebook Live. Maybe it's your first Facebook experience. Some of you have Zoomed for the first time. Maybe you've learned to sew a mask or bake or cook. Something new. To eat healthier or not. To undertake maintenance tasks otherwise hired out. Maybe you finally cleaned out that attic or basement. Maybe you've made your first dump appointment, which is such a strange idea, but apparently that's what's happening. Maybe you've gone to your regular healthcare job, but now it's something quite different because of the inherent danger in it. Maybe you've cared for someone close to you, but not close enough to touch. Maybe you've learned to laugh at something that's usually just an annoyance, or cry at being able to experience what was once a common pleasure. Who knows how these lessons will play out as opportunities to connect, to comfort, to encourage others. Just like education has moved online, there are mission opportunities that are expanding online. At Easter, Teach Beyond held the traditional Easter camp for kids, but it wasn't traditional at all. It was online. The interesting thing about that is more kids attended than usual, even kids who would never go to a camp. And they heard the gospel of Christ. Diane is busy with a team developing ways to bring camps and other informal education experiences online through interactive online sessions. And perhaps this will allow informal education efforts to reach far more people than ever before. In response to our recent newsletter, a couple we had befriended at BFA back in the day and continue to work with as they moved to England and work for Teach Beyond and have now relocated to Texas, they replied to our email, quote, "I must say that I am interested in the virtual English classes. As long as I don't have to get up in the middle of the night, ?, praising God with you for the work he is doing and praying for your request, especially your transition. Hang on to your hats. I'm just now feeling like I'm coming out of transition after 1.5 years. So we thought that was really interesting. This woman, quite a good friend, who understands the potential of this movement to online, and also, for our personal benefit, understands the process of transition. And it is indeed something for which one has to hold on to their hats, if any of you have ever experienced a major transition like that. Well, what else have you learned to do? Maybe you've learned to bake a perfect loaf of bread. And now it's time to share that loaf with a neighbor or a friend who not only needs the bread, but needs the bread of life. Maybe your cooking has come to rival anything you could once get eating out. So maybe it's time to adjust your finances with the kingdom of God in mind and eat out less, not by force, but by choice. But I'm not going to tell you what you need to do with these things. I'm just suggesting ways to think about it. I'm not smart enough to tell you what God may use from this season of your life. But please, whatever he wants to use, let him. At this point in our experience with COVID-19, we're all confronted by a bit of angst, nice German word. As I crafted this quickly, Rhode Island was in the next phase of reopening the state, or considering it at least. Changes daily, doesn't it? Churches will transition from locked out to in person. It's likely that many churches will do as I did with my classes at BFA. There we developed a hybrid version of kids present and kids distantly zoomed in. And in many time zones away, kids watching pre-recorded versions of class content. Looks like First Baptist is well on its way to developing a good plan to address these issues. But what about our concerns elsewhere, beyond church? What will the changes mean for you personally, for your job, for your business, for your families, for your education, for your loved one's wedding, or your loved one's funeral? Can you this day know the particular future? Can you this day plan out the particular future? These are rhetorical questions, and the answer is, of course, duh. Of course you can't plan out your particular future. Not possible. So if you can't know the specific, the temporal, the here and now, on this earth and even in your body, what can you know about the future? And not knowing this here and now, what can you plan about the future? I'm going to tell you a few things you should know. And my guess is you already know these things. This is nothing new. But you can know you're not alone. Even though many of you in these days are practically alone regarding other people, you are not alone. Others share your experience. Even now, listen to them. Tell them your story. Listen to their story. Many have shared hard experiences such as this in the past, even far worse ones. They are your cloud of witnesses, living and in heaven. Virtually everyone on this planet right now is sharing a commonality with you. They always have. We're all God's people, to one degree or another, whether we've been saved or not. We've had those commonalities, but now we feel it more. And you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life if you trust Jesus, and you have the Word of God and the comfort that's therein. You're not alone because the Lord has walked out your steps. Proverbs 4, in speaking, speaking here is the Father to the Son regarding God's instruction and wisdom. And wisdom, of course, is personified as a woman. And here's what the Father says. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. You're not alone. You can know that. You have others. You have the Lord, and he's walked out your steps. The second thing you can know is that you are known. God does indeed know you. He formed you. Even as he said of Jeremiah, for a purpose, even in the womb for Jeremiah, he knows your purpose. Even as he said of Isaiah, go and say to these people. He knows your vocation, in fact, as he did with Amos the shepherd, and where he's going to take you, as he made Amos a messenger, a prophet, as a result of the vision God gave him. He understands things you don't understand. He understands them perfectly, even though we look at them strangely like Ezekiel and wonder what a field of dry bones could possibly mean. He knows where Moses is buried. Nobody else does, but God knows. And he knows when the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. You can know that you are known. And the third thing you can know is you can know you are loved. The Lord has made a way for your return to the Father, whether you've strayed into rejection of him through wicked ways or through self-righteous pride. The Lord is like the father who would never give a snake when his child asks for a fish, or a stone when he asks for bread, or a scorpion when an egg is desired. The Lord is that most excellent friend, of no greater love than that he laid down his life for you. And even though he died for you, he's alive again to live and make intercession for you with our Heavenly Father. And he will return and bring us finally to our true home and dry our tears and feast with us and offer the healing of the leaves of the tree of life. You can know you are loved. So you can know you're not alone. You can know that you are known. And you can know that you're loved. But can you this day know the future? Can you this day plan out the future? We already said, not specifically. So if you can't know or even effectively plan the future, what is there which you can grab hold to? Right now. For right now. And for the weeks ahead. Well, in Christ there's a whole lot. You can know much of the will of God for your life. I could just hear some of you saying, really? Please tell me what that is. Well, the answer is kind of easy and kind of hard. The easy part. Much of the will of God for your life is not about what you do, but it's about who God wants you to be. If you know Christ, then much is already in place. You're created in His image, redeemed by His blood, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and loaded with information of what that should look like as you work out your already purchased salvation. Much of the will of God is about who you need to love, God and others. The loving of God casts all that we do in life in a wonderful world of worship. The loving others shapes our will to God's will in areas of attitude and generous service. And if that's not enough for you to know about the will of God, about the doing of His will, then pray and try something that looks like it could be used of God. He'll often clear things up as you go. He did for us after 2 years of prayer. He might obviously answer prayer, or He might subtly redirect your efforts into the future that you cannot know and cannot plan unfolds before you. He can steer that ship that you've set in motion. So God wants you to be and wants you to love and wants you to do, and he'll show you or He'll direct you. But the hard part is obeying all that with humility. But the thing that makes the hard part easier is that you can know much of the character of God. He's faithful. He's good. He will bring you home. You can trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus, right? You're not alone, you're not unknown, and you are loved beyond all standing. And you can know that you are held and empowered and directed, and that even the mistakes you make are redeemable. Even the mistakes you make are redeemable. So focus on who you are and focus on who you're becoming instead of what you do and what you are. So today's takeaway maxim to understand, I've sort of crafted this. I don't know if it really flows well, but I'll give it a try. If who you are leans towards righteousness, genuine and deep, and does inhabit and flavor and motivate and compel what you do, great things can be done. They might not be big things. They might just be little things in the world's eyes. But they will be great, especially if they're done in the name of the Lord and for His approval only. So if the who you are is there, the what you do will be good. But if what you do is not inhabited, flavored, motivated, compelled by righteousness, you'll also do things little and maybe even sometimes big, but they will probably not be great. Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You might pursue lofty goals, gain good repute, die a success in the world's eyes, but if it hasn't been sourced in the one who knows you and loves you and wants you far more than for what you do, you end up maybe like that modern-day Pharisee, a whitewashed tomb. Your life looks okay on the outside, but inside, it's dead. It's not where you want to go. So let who you are inhabit what you do, and don't make what you do who you are, if that makes any sense. So here we are in this time of craziness. I've heard many proposed titles for the age of COVID-19. Today I offer this, the Great Diversion. Pretty much anything you were expecting to do, planning to do 5 months ago, has been diverted, and that is hard. But if what you do is inhabited with who you are, and if who you are is one pursuing Christ, seeking His mind and heart and service, then the interruptions of expectations, the distraction of diversion, the consternation of contagion, like our own these days, can be weathered. I faced diversion in my own life. I began my teaching career in 1979 in public school. And in a very tangible way, in just a few days, the end of my traditional teaching career is upon me. But not my working life, no, not yet, not retiring. But that traditional classroom looks like it's going to be over in just a few days, after 30-some years. BFA's season has been an absolute delight. I'll miss it greatly. It's been a fabulous zag in the zigzag of walking with the Lord. But there was a zig back in the 80s. After 3 years of public school teaching, I ended up a commercial fisherman working with my dad. It was unexpected and unplanned and seemingly unproductive education career-wise, but with hindsight and an imaginative effort to see things from God's perspective, it was none of those things. God was faithful. God is faithful. God was good. God is good. And He will ever be such. But now, years later, He's brought something to mind, something that gives me hope in these sort of zigging times. Something I want to share with you. A few months ago, a new Facebook group popped up titled Galilee Commercial Fishing. So cool. Photos, stories, tall tales, and personalities of a world in which I was a dues-paying member for 8 years. But you know the fishing village, you know, in the fishing village known as Galilee, across from the other village called Jerusalem. But I digress. One day, a proverb appeared on that Facebook page. In the feed. I didn't write it down, but it did strike me, and now I can't find it again. But suffice it to say, it's not original with me. But I think it ties together this idea that we can only do so much, but it's vital that in whatever we do by anchoring in Christ, straining the seafarer analogy there, but anchoring our lives, our characters, our hopes, our expectations in Christ. And as Christ grants the resilience we need in today's big diversion. The proverb went something like this. Man may tend to ship and sail, yet wind and wave are beyond him. That's my best guess anyway. Man may tend to ship and sail, yet wind and wave are beyond him. I know this could have been said better, probably has been, but it's my nugget for now. It's my nugget for today. Do, if you know Christ, become the person God wants you to be, the person God sees you as in Him. If you don't know Him, and I pray that's modified by yet, if you don't know Him yet, still become, as best you are, able, a good person. But we know we need Christ to truly be good. Tend the ship and sails. Let God craft your craft with His guidance and assistance and power and provision. He can do it. He delights to do it. A famous former high school English teacher who became a Baptist minister out in California by the name of Shadrach Meshach Lockridge preached about this God, our God, but you gotta love that name, S.M. Lockridge, Shadrach Meshach, and we know they went through the fire and God provided. He said in a famous sermon, not the very famous sermon about which is entitled That's My King, but another one. He said this, and I just love the way he puts words together. Now, regarding our God, now the same God that is able to turn nothing into something is the same God that's able to take a good-for-nothing nobody and turn him into somebody to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He's the same God that can make a sick man well, an ignorant man wise, a bad man good, a good man better, and even a dead man alive in Jesus Christ. Same God, same Christ, same Spirit. He will help craft your craft. But then the wind and wave, of course, are beyond us. And God only knows, and only God knows, the wind and wave ahead. He has the power and the inclination to get us through that wind and wave, or to call them to calmness. Either works to the glory of His name and to our benefit. Today, the wind is blowing from a very strange quarter. The waves are building. For some of you, there's a long course to sail yet. It's only getting started. For some of us, maybe it's the latter course of our lives. One thing we know today is that we don't know how long that course of our life will be. So here's my challenge for myself. Here's my challenge for First Baptist. Diane and I have been praying for God's sustaining grace, protection, and empowerment through this season, praying that we don't reach a new normal, only, but that are supporting churches, and First Baptist most of all, find a refresh of what it means to be church, to do church, in an age where the community at large cannot not be thinking of deeper things. This is an existential question for people. Will I survive this? Everyone is searching. Some are searching for distraction. Some search for someone to blame. Some even blame God, or the Democrats, or the Republicans, or the people from somewhere else, or. Stop blaming. Trust God. Some search for comfort in their grief or in their fear. But we at First Baptist, we've got something special. In John 6, Jesus was speaking to his disciples in a way that put many off. In fact, it was his discussion about how his body was the bread and his blood was the wine, and they would have to take of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it was plain offensive to a lot of people. That's a whole nother sermon. Many followers were disaffected and left because they didn't really believe in who Jesus was. They were more about what Jesus was doing, particularly doing for them. But Jesus was more than that. Jesus addressed his primary disciples and asked them if they were wobbling in their devotion to him as well. He asked, in verse 67 and on, in John 6, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Us at First Baptist, we've got something. Christ has given us the words of eternal life. We are his witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. May First Baptist, may we continue to boldly hold fast to the truth of God's word. And we do that at First Baptist. That is a hallmark. But also love the community and the world in ways that open a path for the words of eternal life. Don't just hope this goes away. Look for what God has in it for you individually, for the body, and the witnesses of First Baptist Church. It is a strange time, but it is a time of great opportunity as we wait on God. So, let me just close in prayer. Father God, thank you for the privilege of preaching at home from a distance. What a pleasure. And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and you could take them and use them, that we would so desire to know you, to know that we're not alone, to know that we're known of you, to know that we're loved by you, and that you desire to work out in our lives and in our characters who you want us to be, and then go and do the things you call us to do. Just this day, nudge us, move us along in that. Give us the courage as we begin reintegration in the coming weeks to just be bold in our trust in your goodness and your faithfulness. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you all, here, near, and far. Ciao.